Hello and welcome to the Authority of Love. It's good to be back with you this week for Family Foundation Friday. Thank you so much, David. Last week, our co-host, David Walls, and our good friend, Policy Director, Family Foundation, Michael Johnson, joined you. And it was great. You guys did a great job, by the way. Thank you.
Yeah, we had a fun time, but we missed you, Greg, so it's good to be back with you.
Appreciate that. And I know you've got a lot going on. We're actually recording just a little bit earlier today, so when this airs on Friday, when you're hearing this on WJMM, 99.1 FM. There's going to be a lot more things that have gone on, so we'll update you again next week. But David, I want to jump right in because there's a lot going on as the veto days start on Good Friday. Yeah. I think that's the 29th. And there's a lot of things that need to be done between now and then. So I know one of those is HB2, the School Choice Amendment. We haven't talked about that quite as much the last couple of weeks. So fill our listeners in on that, what we need to do.
Yeah, there's a lot of activity that's been going on this week, and I suspect it's going to continue at a very fast pace.
Yes.
Up until the end of the session on the 15th of April, but before the veto period starts on the 29th of this month. But Greg, this is an issue that you and I spent a good deal talking about at the very beginning of the session. With the desire and one of the big needs, one of the legislative priorities that leaders in both chambers had talked about was for Kentucky to put forward a constitutional amendment that would open the door for school choice programs.
Right.
And so just to remind folks, Kentucky had put its foot in the door on some school choice and some charter school related bills, and we had some really, really problematic adverse court decisions here in Kentucky that essentially left us with the only option of saying we've got to go amend the Kentucky Constitution.
Yeah.
to make it clear that the General Assembly can put forth a school choice program.
Right.
So there have been a couple, at least two different bills that have been filed. House Bill 2 is the vehicle that has moved. Representative Suzanne Miles is the one that is kind of carrying that. But there was a lot of work that went on behind the scenes to get good language, improved language, I would say. And so, but just to remind folks, let's talk a little bit, Greg, about just the constitutional amendment process.
Tell our listeners why an amendment, because that's what you're getting ready to do, instead of just let's pass a bill and everything's okay, right?
So a proposed constitutional amendment has to pass with a constitutional majority in both chambers, not just a simple majority. So that would be 60 votes in the House and a similar majority, I forget the exact number, Senate. I think it may be 21.
Yes, that's what I was thinking.
Someone can fact check me on that.
Right.
And so if that happens, the governor doesn't get involved because it's already got more than enough to override a veto. So there's no governor's signature. It would then be set on the ballot in November for a up or down vote.
And that's the goal. This November, if they can get HB2 passed as a bill for an amendment, then it can go on to before the people, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. And so it essentially would just say that, would you be in support of giving parents more options and to
choice,
do that?
Choice, that's the favorite word, right? Of the
educational
left, basically, right?
Choices, right. And allow the General Assembly to use resources to support kids. Of course, continued to be inside the public school system, but outside the public school system.
By the way, research shows that in the states where this has happened, it has elevated the students in public school.
Right.
It has been a win-win. Yeah. What do they say? A rising tide raises every ship, lifts every ship, right?
Absolutely.
That's the principle we're looking at there, right?
And this, many folks have said this. I mean, this is really one of the big civil rights issues of our time.
Yes.
There's a lot of money that goes into education. It's probably the largest portion of our budget as it is other states. But there is a growing number, 30 states, at least 30 states, have some kind of school choice program with positive results. There are numerous studies, Greg, showing that that when these programs are in place, it benefits students across the board, like you said.
Yes.
Public school, private school, homeschool.
Charter schools, whatever it may be,
And a growing trend of states passing fully universal school choice programs.
Mm-hmm.
And by saying, look, let's look at the dollars in terms of saying the dollars that are for education should follow the student and the family.
And the family, yes.
Instead of just saying it's going to follow the system.
Pigeonhole them into one system.
So,
right?
I mean, the state of Alabama, I believe, just passed a universal school choice program. You know, Iowa, Arizona recently, a lot of states going that direction. But here's the important thing to know about this amendment. This amendment does not prescribe any particular school choice program. All it would do is provide clarity in the Kentucky Constitution so that the General Assembly would have the authority to look at different school choice program options after the amendment would pass. Right. So that's really, and that's what's interesting, Greg, the House Bill 2 moved this week. It actually has already passed the House floor. The vote was 65 to 32 on Wednesday. Thankful for the leadership in the House and so many that support school choice to move that. It's now actively being considered in the Senate. And one of those updates is it could be voted on close to when this program is airing.
Right.
We'll see. But it's important. A lot of the debate that centered on the House floor when they debated this was some of the members, a lot of the Democrats that are hostile to this idea, were focusing on, you know, all these arguments about, well, it's going to mean this, it's going to mean that, they're going to do this, they're going to do that. Again, the reality is this just lets the people of Kentucky decide.
Yes.
And so, and what's interesting is, and, you know, there's been polling on this. At Choice Kentucky, a school choice organization, they've done polls that show, you know, the support for school choice has been rising, 65% in 2018, all the way up now to one of their most recent polls showing 78% of Kentucky school parents want to have more educational options.
Four out of every five, almost.
For their students. Yeah. And so, but it is sad to see some of the continued arguments against this. Yeah. Governor Beshear, adamantly opposed. And he tweeted out as this debate was happening, kind of almost yelling it on Twitter, public dollars are for public schools.
Let me interject something here, David. I need to ask a question.
Yeah.
I thought, two things.
Yeah.
And then I want you to pick back up with this same thing.
Yeah.
I thought that that Democrats, and most of us to some degree, were all for choice.
Yeah.
Well, where does that choice go to kill a baby in the womb when you go, let's give those children that are alive more choices for their betterment?
Right.
Second question is, I thought that public dollars were your dollar and my dollar. Right. They
taxpayer
belong to the
dollars.
People, supposed to be taxpayer dollars are our dollars.
Right.
And so this is, again, let's go back to what we said last year in the election.
Yeah.
This is why elections matter.
Yeah.
Because if you don't put people in that think the same way you do or feel strongly about the things that you know are good, they're going to manipulate things and use your dollars for other things.
Yeah.
So just a couple questions. Where's your choice? That's all we're asking for.
Right.
And how about my dollars?
Right. Well, and look, this, while some of the debate on the House floor, it was pretty clear there was a Republican-Democrat divide in some of it. To be clear, in other states, this has sometimes been a very bipartisan issue.
Yeah.
Because there have been a lot of urban Democrats, you know, sometimes in very much, you know, concerns about some of the failings of the public school system and some of these situations where, because what happens a lot of times is the first people to benefit from having choice is lower income folks, sometimes
as opposed to what Governor Beshear says, basically.
Right.
It's for our friend at Courier Journal. He had a comment
He did
that we need to refute.
Essentially attacking Christians and Christian private schools, and you know, and again with what the governor said. Look, the reality is, you know, it's been publicly reported the governor has, you know, his kids are in private schools. Some of the Democratic leaders that spoke against the program even said, look, we made the decision to send our kids to private schools. And then they turn around and say, well, but a school choice program is to benefit the rich. And it's the exact opposite.
Exactly right.
The current system that we have, with the borderline monopoly there is on dollars going to education.
Well, I don't think it's borderline, brother. Right, I think it's a monopoly.
Right.
Yes.
It prevents a whole lot of parents from having other educational options.
Especially.
So school choice provides opportunities for all, especially those at lower income levels and those that don't have the ability or resources to go to private schools, who many times the private schools, if you look at what they're spending per student, it's vastly less.
Oh. And yet the results are vastly greater. So what happens if we give more of those same opportunities to more kids, especially those in the lower economic status?
Right.
They are going to improve. And the research backs this all the way over and over again. They're not looking at it. They're just, they're running with their mantras. The media covers for them, and it reduces choice, and it hurts children and it hurts their future. So yeah, please, listeners, please call and support. How can they do that, David?
Yeah. If folks go to our website, we have an updated alert at KentuckyFamily.org that right now you can send to your senator and Senate leadership in support of House Bill 2. There's some other important bills, Greg, as well, as we're in these final days. You know, the Baby Olivia Act, House Bill 347, is still waiting for a vote in the House. There's an important religious liberty bill that you and I have talked about, House Bill 47, by Representative Steve Rawlings as well, that's awaiting a vote. And then we've talked some about Senate Bill 147 to protect children from adult-oriented businesses and performances. That's passed out of the Senate. It's waiting for a hearing in the House.
So there is movement on
movement,
but we need to keep putting strong pressure on them.
Absolutely.
Right?
And folks can take action at KentuckyFamily.org. And then also the number to call the legislative message line, as you have shared so many times, 1-800-372-7181.
Yeah, and I want to close out with this, Dave, because I know Family Foundation and others, but you all have joined in, is it an amicus brief before the Supreme Court?
Yeah, you know, while obviously the legislature takes up a lot of time and energy in terms of discussion this time,
and it's in line
we're involved
this.
In other things, and there's probably the most important pro-life case since the Dobbs decision, Greg, is going to be argued coming up on March 26th. This is the case related to the chemical abortion pill, and that's the United States FDA v. the Alliance for Hippocratic Oath. Our friends at Alliance Defending Freedom have been a part of helping challenge the unlawful way in which the chemical abortion pill was originally approved, and then also the way in which the Biden administration removed all the safety precautions.
Yes.
Let's be clear here. The chemical abortion pill, if properly taken, kills an unborn child and is extremely risky for the mother. And so we're hopeful the Supreme Court will at a minimum put the protections back in place. And so we're thankful for the work of our Family Policy Alliance ally in Pennsylvania. Their law center put together a brief that over 35 of our state allies signed on to.
Excellent.
We'll be talking about this more, Greg, I'm sure. But be praying for the Supreme Court and praying for that case. It's a big pro-life case that will have implications across the United States.
Yeah. So, David, praying for this school choice, HB2, school choice amendment bill, so we can get that on the ballot and the people of Kentucky can have their voice heard. Number two, please be willing to pray for our governor. Pray, even if you disagree with him or agree with him, pray for him. Let's give these children and families choices that actually betters them.
Yeah.
That's what it does. And then those other bills that you mentioned, KentuckyFamily.org, take action. You can go there or just go to the site, click on that, and you'll find those and several others that they can pray for and take action on. It's very quick. If you call the legislative message line, the 800-372-7181, they really do a good job of walking people through that.
Yeah.
So, David, thank you. Thank you again for joining us. I'm glad we were able to get this in. And you know we're going to have a lot more next week. You can go to loveandlordship.com, find out more about this ministry. Go to KentuckyFamily.org, and there's plenty of information there. And we thank you for doing that. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for your prayers. Thanks always to the Lord. Make it a great day, and God bless in Christ. David, I know I was under the weather last week. You had a little cough, so we're going to be praying for you as well, brother.
I appreciate that.
And hope that you get through that. And listeners, please give us loveandlordship@gmail.com, loveandlordship@gmail.com, or info@KentuckyFamily.org, right?
Yeah, love to connect with you.
Questions, connect, comments, whatever you got. So stay tuned at 12:45 for my good friend Greg Horn. His hope is here. I'm Greg Williams with David Walls, and you're listening to The Authority of Love.